So our reading this evening is Psalm 64. And so we read this psalm through. It's just 10 verses. A psalm of David. Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. They sharpen their tongue like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, "Who will see them?" They plot injustice and say, "We have devised a perfect plan. Surely the mind and heart of man are cunning." But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. All mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. We say amen to God's word and ask that he will indeed bless it to us this evening. And so you've been working through the Psalms, and here we see that although David and us as well as individuals are often oppressed by the wicked, we should, with David, rejoice in the Lord. That is basically the theme that we have going through this psalm. Oppressed by the wicked? Yes. Rejoicing in the Lord? Always. That's where we should be. Now, in the previous psalm, Psalm 67, David has acknowledged that God is his help. He is in the shadow of God's wing. God's right hand upholds him. But although David knows this, it doesn't stop him getting low. And although we acknowledge, I'm sure, many, many times that God is our help and we are under the shadow of his wing and he is there every moment of every day, we do still get low. And we do still see around us the things that are going on, and it does worry us and pull us down. And David, in this psalm, that's how it begins. It actually begins with a complaint to God. When you actually read this psalm, it says, "Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint." David comes before God with this complaint about those who are against him. And he says, "Will you protect my life from the threat of the enemies?" He was basically fed up with the threats on his life. The Hebrew word here means fear or dread of the enemy. And he was fearing and dreading the enemy that kept coming against him. You know, sometimes the fear of the enemy can be just as destructive as the actual attack or assault itself. People have this fear of what's going on or what could happen. But David comes before the Lord and he says, "Lord, this is my complaint. There are those who are coming against me. Will you protect my life from the threat of the enemy?" So is it right that we should bring complaints to God? Is it right that we should complain to God? Well, probably the word would be better put, our concerns to God. See, God longs that we pour out our hearts and our concerns to him. Although it is translated here, and quite rightly, a complaint, what it is, it's saying, "Lord, this is the problem I have. So many people are against me." And God longs that we would pour out our heart to him. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So the Lord says, if you feel burdened and you feel really weary, then come to me and you will find rest for your souls. So God does want us to come to him with our concerns, if you want to call them complaint, as it's put here. But there are many people who have done that. If we just look at a couple in the Bible, it's interesting to see how people in Bible times would come to the Lord. In Job 21 and in verse 7, his complaint is about the wicked. And Job says, why do the wicked live on, growing on and increasing in power? Maybe we think the same. Why do they still seem to be able to go on? Why do they still seem to be able to live such a good life? And yet they are wicked people against God. Job says this. Why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? What about Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah had a complaint to God. In Jeremiah 12 and in verse 1, he says, you are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do the faithless live at ease? And sometimes we ask these questions and these concerns, but God wants us to voice them because he can then answer them and he can help us through these situations. And so David comes to the Lord with this concern about those who are coming against him. And then we see that David voices the conspiracy of these people. Verse 2, it says, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evil doers. If you have the New King James, you've got secret plots. The secret plots of the wicked. The Living Bible paraphrase says, preserve my life from the conspiracy of these wicked, evil gangs of criminals. And that's how he felt as these people were coming against him. Secret plots to bring us down. Of course, this is our enemy all over, plotting against us, seeking to bring us down by cunning ways. We know that when our Lord was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came upon him for 40 days trying to bring him down, plotting against Jesus. That's what he would do. How cunning he is. As Christians, we must never forget how cunning Satan is. Secret plots to pull us down. But at the same time, always remembering that he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. As Christians, we have the all-powerful one within us and to help us defeat the enemy. But David is saying, these conspiracies, they come against me. This noisy crowd of evildoers. Do you know what? Enemies do hurt Christians. You see, David says, look, their words hurt. They sharpen their tongues like swords. When someone says something to you as a Christian, it does hurt. When they start to tease, when they start to say things that perhaps are not true, it does hurt. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man, shooting words at innocent people. Tongues like swords, words like deadly arrows coming at us. Accusations fired at Christians in these days are often secret plots to bring us down. You only have to think about the case of the guest house owners a year or two ago. It was all planned. It was a secret plot to see if they could get some people into that home who were homosexuals so that they could then start to plot against those people and pull them down. It was a plot. That's what it was. But we are told to take the shield of faith, which we can use to extinguish those arrows from the evil one. And this is what David is saying. These arrows are coming at me. Their words are like arrows. They shoot from ambush at me like arrows. And it hurts. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 9 and verse 10, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks with deceit. Of course, David knew what it was to actually have real spears and arrows thrown at him, didn't he? When he was playing the harp in Saul's presence, in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 10, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a spear, didn't he? David knew what it was to actually have real spears and arrows thrown at him. But God protected him and helped him there as well. And so we see that David has his complaint, and then we see the conspiracy, and now we see the community, because they start to encourage each other. It's not just the ones and the twos, but they start to encourage each other. Verse 5, they encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see them? Hoping to snare us. The crowd encourage each other. They devise perfect plans together. In verse 4, we saw they were shooting from ambush like a collection of troops. They often say there is safety in numbers. I suppose there is to a degree. But we know that people gather numbers to get their point across or to cause trouble. We know that if people want to strike, they get as many as they can to be together, to make an impact. If we have one person out there with just a board walking up and down, they probably wouldn't even turn up with the television cameras. You get a crowd of people. You get a march going through a city. They make a point. And there's this collection of people. We as Christians are a very lonely voice in the world today. But we have to keep strong against the crowd, against the majority. David, in an earlier psalm, which I guess you've looked at some point, Psalm 57 and verse 4, actually said this: I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. We lie in a whole pack of lions. That's what it seems to be, in the midst of lions, ravenous beasts coming at us. Why does it feel like that? Well, you know, it should feel like that because we're different. If it doesn't feel like that, then maybe there's something slightly wrong with the way we live. See, in a world that's gone completely against God, in a country, sadly, that's gone completely against God and God's laws, we should begin to feel this very lonesome kind of person in a world that has turned their back on God. We're told in 1 Peter and in chapter 2 and verse 11 that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. Or if you've got the NIV, we are aliens and strangers in this world. That's what we are. I guess you've had people say to you, like I have, well, you're very peculiar. That's good. We're peculiar people. And we are. To the world, they don't understand us. Why don't you do that? Everybody does. No, they don't. We as Christians don't. And why do you do this when no one else does? Well, we do it because we are Christians. And they don't understand us. We are strangers as we pass through this land. But this isn't our home. Just passing through on our way to heaven. The whole community doesn't understand us. And David felt that here in this psalm. They encourage each other in evil plans. They put snares out to try and trap me. They plot against me, devising plans. That's the world we live in. David was living in it then. We live in it now. But David then turns this whole psalm around. Yes, the wicked are against him. But then he remembers his God. And the confidence comes back. And so we see that in verse 7, he says, but you know what? God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. Suddenly they will be struck down. Our confidence is in God. See, God will, and him alone, he will turn things against them. God will shoot them with the arrows and they will be struck down. It's all in God's hands. We don't take revenge. God does. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 19, we're told that we shouldn't take revenge. But we leave it in the hands of God. Romans 12 and verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. David has complained about the wicked. God has heard him. And now God is saying, I will turn their words against them. He will turn their own tongue against them. And he will bring them to ruin. That's what it says in verse 8. He will turn their own tongues against them, bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. People at the moment think that they're on the winning side in the world. They think they've got the upper hand on God's and on Christian standards, and it's very, very sad to see. But you know, the Lord says, leave it with me. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. He will turn their tongue upon them. One day they will realize that what they were doing is all wrong, and they will pay for it. And so we have to leave these things in God's hand. So our confidence is in God. And here David suddenly turns it all around. He says, yes, my complaint is against these wicked and all they're doing against me. But you know what? Lord, you're going to sort it. And you will shoot them with their own arrows. You will strike them down. You will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. So our confidence is in God and in him. For he is in complete control. And in his own time, he will bring this to pass. But then we see that there will be this confession from all mankind that God is the true God and that he is the Lord of all. See, as this psalm progresses in verse 9, all mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. I don't know about you, but looking at this thing that they've tried to put on a comet and then seeing it bounce off and then go down in the wrong place and getting, what was it, half a day's worth of pictures coming back to Earth to see how the universe began, costing absolute billions of pounds. It just seems such a strange thing, doesn't it? When we just say, look, what you have to do is read God's word. This is how it began. God created the world. And here, one day, all mankind will proclaim the works of God. They will proclaim that God is the creator of all things. That he is the one who put the planets in space. He is the one who made all the creatures. He is the one who made man in his own image. He is the one who did it. All mankind will fear God. All mankind will proclaim the works of God. All mankind will ponder what he has done. At the moment, so many people reject the fact that Jesus died on the cross for them. So many people reject the fact that Jesus is the only way to heaven. One day, they will ponder what he has done. His perfect sacrifice on the cross. But for so many people, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. They will be standing before God as their judge and not as their savior. We need to pray that people's eyes will be opened before that. That people will begin to realize that there is only one true God, creator of all things. That Jesus did die for them personally on the cross. And if this evening you're one here who has never really acknowledged that and never asked the Lord to come into your life and save you, then tonight's a wonderful opportunity. You can say, I realize now that Jesus is the creator of everything. That he did die for me personally. And that I need to ask him to come into my life. Forgive my sins and give my life over to him. There is only one God. We need to fear and reverence him. There is only one creator and there is only one saviour. And we need to bow the knee before him. We know it says here that all mankind will fear him. And will ponder what he has done. Philippians 2 and verse 11 simply says, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess it. I wonder whether we know him as our Lord at this time. So how does this psalm all end up? What is the conclusion that David comes to? Lord, here is my complaint. The wicked are against me. There's all these conspiracies going on against me. And we would say the same about against Christians today. Their language, their tongues, it hurts us. But then we say, but the Lord's in control and he will turn these things against these men. And one day they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what should be the conclusion of all this? Well, in verse 10, let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord. How did you start your day? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will say this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in my Lord. Sometimes it doesn't always go that well, does it? I wonder how you'll wake up tomorrow morning, Monday morning. I rejoice that it's Monday morning and I'm back to work, I'm back to school, back to the chores of a Monday, and I rejoice in the Lord. It's not always easy, is it? And then we go through a week and it doesn't always go our way. But you know, we know that God's in control. And we trust him through everything. And so the righteous should rejoice in the Lord. And we take refuge in him. We sang this now earlier on. Safe in the shadow of his wings. Beneath his wings and power. Safe in the shadow of the Lord. His hands are underneath us to hold us up. He protects us with his wings. He takes us through life. And we can rejoice in the fact that nothing can happen to us unless he wants it to. We take refuge in this and in him. And the upright in heart, well, we praise him continually. People are watching us and people are seeing what we're doing. People were watching David and they were against him. David failed so often, didn't he? But David was still the Lord's, confessing his sin and trusting in his Saviour. We need to do the same. We need to bring our, not complaints maybe, concerns to the Lord and say, Lord, we are so concerned. The way the country's going, the way the world's going. But then we need to say, Lord, but I trust you. Because we're on the victory side. On the victory side. One day we know that we'll meet our Saviour face to face. And as Christians, we'll come before our Lord and our Saviour and we'll bow the knee and worship him. But if we're not a Christian, then we'll still come before him and we will confess that he is Lord, but we won't know him as our Saviour and he will be our judge. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. How sad that will be for so many people. Let's keep proclaiming the good news. Trusting our Saviour. And although things are bad around us, knowing that we're on the victory side and on our way to heaven. May God help us to do that for his name's sake. Amen.